So today, Ian, we're going to review the new Doctor Who trailer and maybe talk a little bit about what we think might be coming next in the show.
But I thought this was an RPG podcast.
Usually, yes, but the timeline has been affected by me not having received my second edition starter set and others tired.
Someone tell me what the hell is going on here!
Nobody in the universe can do what we're doing.
There's a scientific explanation for that.
I'm a time traveller.
Tell me of your universe.
You think words can do it justice?
When are we?
This one gets complicated.
Every great decision creates ripples.
It's not the time that matters, it's the person.
Would you care for some
RPG? RPG! RPG!
Let's play!
Wibbly.
Wobbly.
Dicey.
Wicey.
Welcome to Wibbly Wobbly Dicey Wicey, the podcast where we look at the Doctor Who RPG's past, present and future. And whether you believe in the story of a magical child who was born and persecuted and died and then came back to life and had whole societies and belief structures formed around them, or even if you aren't from Gallifrey, happy holidays. Today we've got a bit of a departure from the norm. We're going to be looking at the new trailer that just dropped, relatively speaking, and seeing, you know, what we think about it and what we think it might be saying about the future of the show. And with me today is Ian Martin of the Electric Sodcast and the Strangers in Space podcast, and he's also the author of the Winter Hill series of sci-fi novels. Hello, Ian.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, how are things in comedy land and professional podcasting land?
Well, I don't know about that, but over here in idiot land, I've just tried to adjust this lamp and I've blinded myself. So all I can see is glare. So that's the level of genius you're operating with today. Bear with me and I'll try and string together some coherent sentences.
Well, I mean, the alternative is looking at me at the moment and I've got pneumonia, so you're probably safer with glare instead.
I might be able to catch it through the screen. You don't know, so
don't
cough. There's germs, Jesus.
Audio transmission of germs there. Yeah, if either of us do spontaneously regenerate during this, then you'll know why. So yeah, first off, we've got our three questions of Rassilon, above, between, below, that we ask all new guests on their first appearance. Mm-hmm. So the first question is, of course, how did you first discover Doctor Who?
I want to say probably my mum or my dad put it on for me when I would have been about 4 or 5. It was something that I kind of watched without really knowing anything about it until the first episode I can seriously remember seeing is Full Circle Part 1, but I'm not entirely sure if that was actually my first episode ever or not. But, you know, I was lucky enough to be alive when it was on TV, and I got into it that way.
Yeah, I think my first proper episode was the last episode of Caves of Androzani, but I have vague memories of other ones as well, so I completely get where you're coming from on that.
Yeah.
So question number two is, how did you first discover RPGs?
So when I was at secondary school, and I don't know what they call them nowadays, but they were called secondary schools when I was between the ages of 11 and 16. I hung out with a bunch of nerds who didn't like to go outside in the lunch break because we'd get beaten up or made to play football in the mud or something. So we'd just stay in some classrooms and do nerd things. And one of the nerd things we ended up doing was playing, I think the first role-playing game that my friend Martin brought along was Cyberpunk, and we also did a couple of other ones, but I'd been, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, and it was a school lunch hour, avoiding the bullies kind of activity.
Well, I'm going to ask you a geek question now, RPG-wise. Do you know, remember what version of Cyberpunk it was?
It was a blackish cover with like a red border.
Yeah. That's 2013.
Right, yeah. 2013. So, wow, so it's nearly 10 years old that was even set. I'll put that in English. It was 10 years ago that was even set. So, yeah. Wow.
That was the future of the past.
Wow.
Which actually ties into something I'm going to bring up when we actually watch the trailer.
Oh.
And lastly, what was your introduction to the Doctor Who role-playing game scene?
I saw it on a shelf in my local bookshop that I sort of borderline lived in. Like, I'd hang out in there all day on a Saturday. And I want to say it came out late 80s or very early 90s.
So it depends. Now, was it a boxed set or was it a single book? And do you remember, was it called...
It was that book. It was sort of a...
Time Lord.
Yes.
Ah, that's Time Lord from Virgin Publishing. The one and done book. Yes. One of the strangest role-playing games ever, because... It's one of the few role-playing games that wouldn't let you create new characters. And, yeah, you could only play the companions and the doctors as was written. It was a very interesting time for Doctor Who role-playing game that they took that attitude to it. Limit it as much as possible. Don't bring your own imagination to it.
So, I mean, I think I clubbed together with a couple of friends and we bought a copy. And I gave it to one of them and said, you're going to be the GM. We never got as far as actually starting to play it, and I guess he was put off by the somewhat prescriptive rules.
Yeah, it was interesting when I got that. I remember the same thing, thinking, I'm the only Doctor Who fan I know. Everyone else who likes role-playing that I'm friends with likes super violent role-playing. And thirdly, it was like every page I turned, my facial expression indicated my heart sinking just a little bit more, because it's like another thing of, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you know. So yeah, interesting. But yeah, so you came to it in, that would have been the early 90s. Yeah. So we're now going to sync up and watch the trailer. I'm going to sort of stop it and talk about it as it goes on. So yeah, if you just say pause,
okay,
we will dissect it more thoroughly afterwards. So
now I reckon that is going to be the little escape pod that beat the Meep fell to Earth in.
You can't jump ahead like that. You're jeopardising the timeline. No, of course you can. Yes, we know later on Meep the Beep's in this. Oh, should indicate now that potentially there might be spoilers in case we know something ahead that's slightly outside the boundaries of purely this trailer, so you've been forewarned.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know that. Oh.
People will have watched this trailer. So this is just in case we might have some broader knowledge of Doctor Who, because that will definitely come up. That's got to be Meep the Beep's escape pod, hasn't it? I mean...
Absolutely. You couldn't get anything else in there apart from like a giant space Malteser.
Actually, that's what I wanted to ask you. Is this a trailer for just the first special? Because as we know now, there are going to be three specials, and the third one is almost certainly going to be on the 23rd, on the actual anniversary. So do you think this is a trailer for just the first special or broadly for all three?
I assumed this is a trailer for all three because of like the ending. And I assume that when we get to the ending, we'll discuss a certain character appearing. And I would assume that character is only going to appear at the end of the third special.
I like how you're being retroactively coy now.
I'm being very coy now. Yeah. I don't want to give anything away at all. Let's call him codename Massive Thighs, and then no one will guess who we're talking about.
Okay, good. So let's look out for Massive Thighs in this.
It took me about six goes to work out what he's saying at this point, but it's like worldwide premiere.
Yes. It's a sort of a meta reference. And also, we've got a very German accent.
Yep.
I think everyone and his dog knows the speculation that this is the Celestial Toymaker. And there have been so many ancillary clues. If it's not the Celestial Toymaker, it's the Shmishtial Shmoishmaker. Because, you know, there's so much stuff put in this that's the same. And, of course, the Celestial Toymaker, if you don't remember, and why wouldn't you, was... it became a controversial character because... of the appropriation of Asian, specifically Chinese, imperial garb, but being played by a white English male. So now the tack is he's playing a sort of, I don't know, kind of a German cabaret type, which I assume is less offensive to the people to be offended by these things, I guess. I don't know. But he's playing a blonde-haired, blue-eyed German with amazing powers.
We don't know it's definitely the toy maker. That's just what everyone's assuming.
But there have been lots of leaks on the set which really heavily indicate it's the Celestial toy maker. For example, there have been, again, spoiler alert, photos of a toy shop that had Toy Maker of the Year written on it that he comes out of. There's another, I don't know, it's not a leaked photograph, but there's a photograph of him in, I suppose he could be the Celestial Cobbler, but it very much looked like a toy maker's outfit. So, read into that what you will. But there's so much evidence to say it's a Celestial toy maker. And I think one of the key differences between Russell T. Davies and Chris Chibnall is Chibnall was like, no one finds out anything. Okay? Cover the manor, no leaks. I think Russell T. Davies likes certain leaks to feed ideas, to build tension, as opposed to giving out nothing. Certainly, whatever the precautions Chibnall took, Russell T. Davies is not taking, because there have been so many set photos leaked already. But I think there's enough ancillary evidence to suggest very heavily it is the Celestial Toymaker outside of this trailer. Again, it's not been confirmed, you're absolutely right, but still.
Well, fair enough.
So, here we've got... We didn't get very far in that one, did we? We have got three key things here. We have got Meep the Beep from the Doctor Who comics, as you mentioned. Sorry, you didn't mention. We retconned that out.
Yeah.
You would have mentioned Meep the Beep. And now we have these guys who are... And it's never been verbalised, but the Wraith or the Wrath Warriors, also from the comics, which suggests very heavily that this is going to borrow liberally from one of the very, very early Doctor Who magazine comics, The Star Beast. And we also have critically, big rocket ship there that we didn't mention, whoever that is, this person here.
Yep.
Who is, from what I gather, Donna and her husband's child, Rose.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. If that's Rose, how old roughly would you say Rose was from this trailer? Just ballpark.
I 18 to 20.
So, going back to what we said earlier, segueing all the way back to early in the episode, if she is roughly 20 and Donna got married in, give or take, 2010 at the end of time episode, yep. That means yep. This episode has got to be set in our future. So let's say, 2030 max, if she's 20, 2030 AD. So this is set in our relative future. So,
okay.
And of course, Meep the Beep there, saying that they are monsters, very much indicates that they are using Star Beast, because in that story, Meep the Beep, classic example of Beauty and the Beast, looks very cute, but he's actually pure evil. Spoiler alert again, but you've been warned. And the Wraith are the good guys who look ugly, who are pursuing Meep the Beep. Right. So that means that this is, what I'm about to say is kind of obvious, but this is Meep the Beep being brought into continuity, official continuity, if you like, and they're basically taking the Star Beast basic plotline of that reversal of Beauty and the Beast and what have you, which now means, sadly, for anyone who really liked that comic strip story, it's now definitely out of continuity. That says Toy Emporium. You can't really say Mr. Toy Emporium or something like that.
What do we think of David Tennant's horn-rimmed glasses?
I actually thought that they were the 11th Doctor's glasses that he somehow still had in his pocket that he turned into sunglasses like he did in Planet of the Dead.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's interesting looking at... Because obviously David Tennant's, nearly 50 now, or maybe, I'm not sure how old he is, but both him and Catherine Tate... I'm wondering if they're both wearing wigs in this, or if miracles have happened to their real hair.
I honestly don't know. That's a good question. Donna's one may well be a wig. I don't think that's her hair. But they've both aged fairly well, it seems.
Very well. Freakishly well.
Yeah. The other thing was, I noticed UNIT are back. Those guys in those gung-ho outfits, that's UNIT. And I know this is a really pointless endeavour, but I can't figure out UNIT's continuity because UNIT were gone and they'd been cut and then they were just back and there was no... Now, I'm not one to suggest that Chibnall just writes things and then just forgets about them and then just ignores them later. I'm not going to do that. But one might suggest that less attention has been paid to what UNIT is actually doing and what's happening to them in the background than one might hope for. Let's put it that way.
I think it's very carefully woven in. So there's a direct link between UNIT and Gallifrey. Because, as you point out, every other episode they get destroyed. And then every other episode they get put back together. So it must be significant, right?
It has to be. It couldn't be pure happenstance or like lazy writing. And I will tell you this now. Have you ever seen UNIT and Gallifrey in the same room at the same time?
Actually, embarrassingly, yes. It was at a cocktail party in 1982 at Lalla Ward's flat in... I want to say Chiswick. That was the last time you saw them together.
Well you know. that flat must have been, bigger on the inside. So, and we've got, obviously, explosions suggesting there's going to be a lot of action in this special. So,
Yep.
We saw... Right, Donna looking stressed. And once again, the dilemma is the Donna must not remember the Doctor, which...
Yeah.
Considering the last time that happened in End of the World, or End of Time, that was resolved by Donna passing out and a ring of bright water coming out of her forehead or something, and everyone falling down. I just remember thinking, Russ T. Davies really didn't think of a way out of that, did he? He wrote himself into a corner and couldn't write himself out of it, because that was not a resolution that was... 1% satisfying to me. I mean, you know, other people. But so here, just quickly, we've got the Neil Patrick Harris's character doing a scene from American Beauty where he's lying on the floor and there's a whole bunch of roses. Watch. Roses. It's only for a second. Yeah. But he just throws roses up into the air, rose petals. Now, that has to be a reference to Rose, Donna's daughter, I suppose, unless it's a clandestine threat to the actual Rose. Who knows? But anyway... I just noticed that and thought it was interesting. But there we go. We end with Codename Massive Thighs wondering what's going on. As do we all, Mr. Gatwa.
There's a mighty fine-looking logo there as well.
I do like it. One thing, I feel like the word Doctor isn't quite bold enough. Who is a lot more emphasised than Doctor? I don't know if that's just my eyes or what, but...
I think that's because they've kind of given up on the whole Doctor business, because a lot of... children on the Twitters seem to be happy to call it Docky Who. So maybe they're thinking, let's just phase that out and just call the show Who.
That does seem to be the latest, tag for Doctor Who. I don't quite know why.
Drives me mental.
Docky Who, is it supposed to be cute? I don't really get the
It's one letter shorter than typing out Doctor. So maybe because they're young and they're busy and they're going out to do whatever they do. Maybe they're just in a hurry, so they have to type it quickly. Bless them.
Is it better or worse than if they called him D-Dubs?
I like D-Dubs. I've not heard that before.
I just made it up, so that's probably why.
Oh, that's brilliant. When PCAP was D-Dubs, that was brilliant.
So, when D-10s was D-Dubs, I like that as well. So, so overall, what did you think of the trailer? Mm. You know, did it... entice you?
I think it's kind of different because difficult as the, you know, when it was the RTD era, I thought the show was absolutely great, and unfortunately then Stephen Moffat came along and the show was even better, and the RTD era for me kind of paled, not into insignificance, but it paled before the might of the Moffat era. Having been through the Chibnall era, however, I do feel the show needs something slightly more exciting, slightly more obvious, more direct, and more attention-grabbing. And that, I think, is what Russell T. Davies did in 2005. And, you know, God knows we need him to do it again now. I think the trailer very much indicates we're going to get exactly what we would have got if Russell Davis had carried on as showrunner into 2010. I think it's tonally, action-wise, I think it's going to follow on really, really tightly.
See, I'm fascinated by the dynamic of this, because bringing back... I think Chibnall was trying to do a similar thing as well. When he, especially in Power of the Doctor, when he brought back all the old companions and he brought back Captain Jack, I felt that was, when he did it, I felt it was like a crutch. It's like, I'm drowning a bit in Doctor Who here. I'm not really sure what to do. The fans will like these old people coming back. Yep. Now, I think Russell T. Davies is doing the same, but I think he's doing... And if you like this era of Doctor, last era of Doctor Who, more power to you. I'm nothing against you. Good luck. Great. Well done for being able to endure something like that, because I could not. But I feel like RTD is doing damage control. It's like, we can't go from one radical shift that perhaps didn't work as well as we would have liked to another radical shift. And I'm not talking about Shuti Gatwa being a person of colour or anything like that. I'm just talking about another change that has to bring people back, because like as not, Doctor Who needs to re-establish itself. And whether you talk about audience viewers or whatever, at the very least, the one thing we do know is that now Russell T. Davies is back, Disney Plus have bought Doctor Who. Okay, now assuming Disney Plus aren't going to Disneyfy Doctor Who, that can only be a good thing. And they weren't doing that when Chibnall was in charge. Plus, another thing that is certain is that merchandise sales plummeted under Chibnall's reign, and that is a big deal. And I think if Russell Davies is bringing back David Tennant and Donna Noble, that's sort of a warm, comfortable blanket to wear until Shuti Gatwa is revealed. And I think at that point, and this is pure speculation, but I do think at that point the nature of Doctor Who is going to change again. I don't think he's going to write Shuti Gatwa's era in the same formula as he wrote his first era, if you like.
See, I used to think like that, but the more I think about Russell T. Davies as a writer, I just don't know that he's got a different gear to go to. He just He does what he does. And I think Shuti's era will absolutely feel of a piece with the Tennant, the first Tennant era and the Eccleston era, because that's what RCD does. Now, it'll be very different because television production is very different now.
Yeah.
And because Shuti and his companion, whose name...
Ruby Sunday.
...gone into my... whatever. Yeah. they will be very different people. They will have their own dynamic. There may be different stories that RTD wants to do, and in that you might find some kind of tonal differences, but I think basically it's going to be loud, it's going to be brash, it's going to be in your face, it's going to be action-packed, it's going to be very shamelessly, brazenly emotional, and it's going to get people talking. So in that respect, I think it's going to be exactly the same, if not dialed up to 10, because it's on Disney.
Yeah, I mean, you may well be right. I think Russell T. Davies' writing has changed and evolved a bit in between Doctor Who and now. But to be honest, I don't know how much creative control he's got over the new era. So I don't know how much the BBC have said, give the fans, this is a ridiculous statement, but bear with me, give the fans what they want. Go back to what you did before, everyone liked it then. You know, and you had complainers, but nowhere near as many as you do now. So, you know, I'm speculating based on that. I don't know. The one thing he has said, again, not in the trailer, but he has said this in interviews, that Shuti Gatwa apparently is going to be a homosexual doctor, which I thought was a very strange thing for him to say. It was in the magazine or something. He definitely said that, I'm sure. And if I'm wrong and I've misread it, I apologise, but I'm sure he said that he's going to be, and I don't know, you know, and I just felt like that was a strange thing to say. Now, possibly I've misremembered, and if I have, I completely apologise, but I'm so sure he said that I read that somewhere.
Well, I mean, because it's again, it's all David Tennant's fault. But if you forget David Tennant used to play the Doctor, he was never sexual at all. He never had any kind of sexual thing going on. And now suddenly at his 15th iteration, he suddenly decided he does fancy people. And specifically now he's going to be...
Yeah.
You know, that's, well, you know, fine. I think maybe he just meant he's going to be a homosexual Doctor and that he's going to be really sort of acerbic and funny and clever and flamboyant.
Yeah, exactly.
And marvellous. I don't know.
I mean, to be honest, I have no problem with... I don't want the Doctor to have a sexuality that's overt, purely because he's too old and he's an alien and he's of no fixed abode gender-wise.
Yeah.
You know, we know that that's an absolute canon fact now. So having him act like a human in that way, I always find a bit off-putting because I feel like he should be above stuff like that, or she should be above stuff like that. You know, and that's one of the things I did like in the Chibnall era, was that I feel like there were opportunities missed when it came to talking about gender, but also at the same time, I was glad it wasn't something we were over the head with.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
So that was good. But, yeah, and again, it's like you said, it depends on what he means by that. Because one thing we're not going to get is the Doctor sleeping around. So having the Doctor flirt, I think...
I think great if it's the Matt Smith kind of really inept school of flirting. I mean, the idea that the Doctor can sometimes be male, sometimes be female, sometimes be gay, sometimes be straight, is a great idea, and it would liven up the show. But that's not the show that we're talking about, because the Doctor has gone for 14 lives, if we discount the first Tennant, without really having a sex drive or fancying anyone. I mean,
yeah, it's true.
You know,
it's true. So
to suddenly have him, you know what? Who cares? It's
clearly the Time War made him horny.
Yeah,
that must have been it, because the funny thing is, I remember seeing in an interview, and this is 100% I'm certain that PCAPS, as you called him, and why not? Because I'm going to call him that from now on as well. PCAPS said that D-Dubs really fancied Clara, which I didn't really see on the screen, but he said that was the case. And Christopher Eccleston, or CX, yeah. Said that he fancied Rose.
Actually, no, we can't call him that, because that's where you exchange your old DVDs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we can't call. Yeah, what are we going to call him then? Kex.
Kex.
So Kex said that he also fancied the Forest of Cheam person as well.
Yep.
So but the thing is, that was fine, because the way they did it.
I have a question. If the Ninth Doctor had got it on with the Forest of Cheam, do you think he would have got wood? I'll be here all week, ladies.
I can't. I think my pneumonia has turned into brain rot.
I'll get my coat.
Dear.
I'm really sorry, my very poor joke has completely derailed your train of thought, hasn't it?
The opinions of Ian Martin are not supported or endorsed by Wibbly Wobbly Dicey Wicey. But since the new era, there has been this ongoing thread of, you know, say what you like about the awkward flirting of Matt Smith. How do you do that, Matt Smith? That's such a boring name. M. Smitty.
I'll think about it. I'll get back to you, but you carry on.
But anyway, but Matt Smith's Doctor, for all of his terrible awkwardness with flirting, I think he kissed more times than any other Doctor, and he got married. So, you know, maybe awkward is the way to go. But Peter Capaldi, much more of an old-school Doctor, I thought, even though he claimed to fancy Clara. But he did also spend 24 years with River Song, so...
Yeah, in a hotel room.
In a deluxe hotel room, yeah, exactly. Oh, so
I mean, anything could have happened.
Exactly. Tiddlywinks. Well, no, this is all connected to the trailer in that. Do you think, and more idle speculation, but the last scene in the trailer where Shuti Gatwar appears as the 15th Doctor saying, "Can someone tell me what the hell is going on?" Is that the last scene in the last special before he emerges from D10's 14th Doctor? Or is that, is it going to flip back and forth?
So again, spoilers for anyone who doesn't know this, but I think I saw it confirmed that the blue sky that Shooty's standing in front of is just a background they've put there because they don't want to reveal where he really is. I'm guessing that's just going to be the TARDIS, you know, console room, really, behind him. And I'm wondering if maybe the first two episodes end with him like flickering in and out and moving on to Shooty, but then being dragged back to the 10th, well, Earth 40, I lose track with this numbering system, to the Tennant. Or are we going to get Tennant in the first special, then Matt Smith in the second special, then PCAPS in the third special? Who knows?
Yeah, that would be great. That would be my ideal scenario. Because I've liked basically all of the new Whos, and it would be great to have them all take part. Even if they did a weird thing and had Paul McGann back as the Eighth Doctor in one of them, there's no need to do it in order.
That would be wonderful.
That would be really great. And this is a... If it is the Celestial Toymaker, as it almost certainly is, and they have great cosmic power, and they can affect the way the Doctor's regenerating, why not? Go to town. I get the idea that David Tennant is the most popular Doctor now and you want to bring people in. But once you've had him in for one special, surely then you've got license to bring in the others.
And, you know, in terms of Disney Plus, if the first thing they're going to put up on their website is this three-part special, wouldn't it be a really clever introduction for their new viewers if you got a recap of the 10th, 11th, 12th, whoever Doctors, before the new series, rather than just three episodes with David Tennant, who you're never going to see again? I mean, that just feels like a really baffling thing to offer the millions of new fans that Disney would hope they're getting out of this.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like what was it called, that series, Faces of Who, whatever it was called, they did...
The five faces.
The five faces, yeah.
Now they'd have to call it the something like the 17 faces, two of which are dead, and one was the distillation of the Doctor's dark side somewhere between his 12th and final regeneration. But they could do that. Or maybe the Doctor could say to the Toymaker, look, you know, my numbering system has got very confused. I'm the Eighth Doctor, and then there's a War Doctor, and we don't like that. And then there's... and him, and then I become, could we just go back? Just make me the Doctor again, wipe out all my future incarnations, and we'll start at number 8. That would be good.
You went kind of Welsh there. Was that Ross T. Davies speaking through him?
I'm really out of practice with doing Paul McGann. Doing Paul McGann, the name of my autobiography. It's something I'm going to try and brush off and get better at, because you never know when he might be in the show again now. So it's a good impression to have at your fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I went Welsh in a sort of homage to the new show being produced in Cardiff.
Right. Okay.
You know, right. Yeah. So that's what that was.
Yeah, that makes sense. You were going through a regenerative cycle as you were.
I certainly was.
Yeah. Now, Speaking of regenerations. Just to sort of finish off, they're really doubling down on the idea that it's not the 10th Doctor come back, it's the 14th Doctor. Now, the trailer kind of indicates otherwise, in that it's David Tennant. He's in a new suit, obviously, because God knows you couldn't have him reappear in Jodie Whittaker's outfit, because that would be... I don't know what it'd be, the fall of Rome. It'd be, you know, how could you possibly have
it? It'd be terrible. I mean, it would be as bad as if they showed Sacha Dhawan wearing that costume.
Oh. Yeah. And
imagine
they would,
that.
They'd never do that. I mean, dear Lord, there'd be dogs and cats living together. So he appears in this new outfit. And then the first thing he does, apparently in canon, is what's the comic strip in the Doctor Who magazine at the moment. But that takes place over an hour. So an hour after he appears, he goes straight to see Donna, his last companion. That would suggest to me, is the 10th Doctor just come back again? What's the point in saying, no, it's the 14th, it's the 14th? When you're not going to bring back David Tennant to play a hugely different character, because that's the character everyone loved.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, why are they... unless it's just Russell Davies, you know, lying, which it could be. But what point... Do you see any point in saying, no, this is the 14th, not the 10th, come back?
What I assume is happening, and what I assume everyone else assumes is happening, I mean, you know, you tell me if this is what you think, but the Toymaker, if indeed it is the Toymaker, is able to manipulate the Doctor's regeneration. So he's just messed with this regeneration. And just for a short while, he's brought back the 10th Doctor for reasons we don't know and possibly won't even be explained, just because he likes meddling with things. Maybe he's the monk, now that I've said that out loud. Maybe it's a massive misdirection to make us think it's the toy maker, but really it's the monk. It doesn't matter, they're both largely the same character. So the 10th Doctor's going to be back for a little bit, and then he'll turn into Shooty properly at some point during the three specials.
Snyder's Return is a tabletop role-playing game interviews and actual play podcast. We interview content creators, Twitch streamers, and fellow podcasters, and we put out our own actual play using a variety of different systems. So come and join us, come and have a listen. You can find us on Twitter at ReturnSnyder. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or check out our website at www.snydersreturn.squarespace.com.
The toy maker, or whoever he is able to control this particular regeneration, and he just makes the Doctor go back to a previous body for a short few hours just to mess with his head. That's what I assume is going on. Is that any different to what you assume?
Well, I mean, they keep saying it's the 14th Doctor, not the 10th, but again, why bring Tennant back if you're going to have him play a completely different character? There's nothing in that trailer that suggests he's a different character.
Right.
Apart from the new suit. So, I mean, I figured, yeah, maybe he's plucked him out like a millisecond before he says, I don't want to go, or a millisecond after that, forestalls his regeneration. And then the whole point of these three specials, or the special he's in, is so that the 10th Doctor can kind of redeem himself and say, I'm ready to go now. You know,
I suppose, and, yeah. Oh.
But again, wouldn't that still make him the 10th? I don't know. But because let's be honest, the 10th Doctor, for all his popularity, did go out in the whiniest way he could have done. You know, every other Doctor just was fairly dignified, I think.
Yep. But not him. He had to give it the not big him. I am. Oh.
Yeah. Exactly. No, he did. He did. He absolutely did. I always remember thinking, like, now I want you to go. I'm totally ready for you to go now. I like the 10th Doctor a lot, but as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, jog on. You know, if you're going to whine about it, come on.
Yeah, I think halfway through season four, I was ready for him to go. And that's being generous. I think it's balls. I mean, Tennant's obviously playing the same character, so he's playing the 10th Doctor. And this whole 14th Doctor thing, yeah, no, it's just a little temporary blip, I'm sure.
I think it's to try and just engender a bit of interest. Because let's put it this way, if RTD had just said, no, it's the 10th Doctor, come back again, it would be like, oh, okay. So I feel it's an idea, the idea is to try and just well, I suppose it's all artificial, it's written, but...
Yeah, it's not real.
Yeah, I should say that, yeah. I say, how dare he violate Gallifreyan biology like that? But... It's a very deliberate attempt to engender some interest by saying, no, it's not the 10th Doctor, it's the 14th. Just because he looks like him, sounds like him, acts like him, and his memories seem to pick up from the exact point where he left off, it's not him, for reasons.
I mean, the other argument is that if Disney or the BBC had said to RTD, we want a three-part 60th anniversary special, put David Tennant in it, make it popular like it used to be, then he could have just made a big adventure for the 10th Doctor that could have, for the sake of argument, happened during the 10th Doctor's time. But
yeah,
he very specifically hasn't done that. So that makes me think maybe this three-part thing is going to be a kind of general introduction to New Who, and we're going to see more than one Doctor. Well, obviously we are, because we're going to see Tennant and Shooty Gower at least.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get a couple of other Doctors as well. Otherwise, it just feels like you'd have made life easy for yourself and just made it a 10th Doctor story. And that would have been lovely, you know.
Or at the very least, you could have just had the 10th Doctor meet up with the newly regenerated Shooty Gower Doctor and help him deal with the regeneration crisis and just made it a multi-Doctor special. I mean...
Yeah.
It's I don't know if desperation is too strong a word, but there's something rotten in the state of Doctor Who when they're celebrating a 60th anniversary special and it's like, 60th? You've just had a 50th and you feel the need to have another big special.
It was 10 years ago, to be fair and mathematically correct.
True, but, you know, there wasn't a full... Well, I know, obviously, there was, you know... it wasn't around at the time, but the idea that they're pushing a 60th anniversary special reeks a little bit of must get the fans back.
I think you're right. I think until maybe a year or two ago, no one thought they'd do anything for the 60th because it's not a thing, a 60th. I mean, you know, in human terms, it's one of those birthdays you really don't want to think about. The next big anniversary that they'll be celebrating with the TV special should be the 75th.
Yeah, logically.
So I think the fact is that the deal they struck with Disney coincided with the 60th year, and that was kind of seized on as a why don't we do something for the 60th? Otherwise, they'd have said to Chibnall, don't regenerate Jodie in the 59th anniversary special, see if we can get her back for the 60th. So it's all come about, I think, a bit last minute and they're kind of retrospectively trying to turn it into an anniversary special. Also, The Power of the Doctor was, to all intents and purposes, an anniversary special. You've got multiple Doctors, you've got a big story about the Doctor. It wasn't about 100 years of the BBC, oh no. I feel like it's just something that's been artificially contrived, and the 60th is a good, you know, name for it or a good hook to hang it on. But what it is, I feel, is just an introduction to the popular elements of Doctor Who for a new Disney audience.
Yeah, it's kind of the good old days are here again. Please watch.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's a combination of Disney and damage control, basically. I mean, that's what made me think that there won't be multiple Doctors in this, because Chibnall just did that.
True. But Chibnall didn't have Matt Smith and he didn't have Peter Capaldi.
Do you think RTD has got the pull to bring them back? Because they both said they don't want to come near Doctor Who for a while.
Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? I think if you're Matt Smith and you get two phone calls at the same time and one of them is from Chris Chibnall saying, would you be a sort of weird incorporeal ghost for 5 minutes in my special, and another phone call is from RTD saying, I'll give you an hour-long special on BBC One. As a professional actor, you're going to go with the biggest screen time.
Yeah.
So that might be what's happening.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, we can only hope.
We shouldn't speculate about it for too much longer, because this is basically a trailer for a kids' TV show. And we're going to take it far too seriously. And I've got spreadsheets here that I could show you.
Here's my notes. So, you didn't see that. I held up my very, very thick pad of Doctor Who stuff. Let's call it that and leave it at that. But right, well, thank you so much for joining us here at Wibbly Wobbly Dicey Wicey today. Ian, is there anything you would like to plug?
As we record today, I'm in the middle of starting to write the next series of the Electric Sodcast. So there isn't going to be anything on that feed for probably a number of weeks. So why doesn't everyone make sure they're subscribed to We're All Stories in the End, where I wang on about the Virgin Era books and the BBC novels from 20 years ago with a variety of wonderful guests. And keep your eye out for announcements about the Electric Sodcast. There's also All of Time and Space and Strangers in Space. There's a lot of space. I like space.
Good use of space. There you go. There's a deep cut for you. See if anyone can figure out what that's from. But okay, thank you so much. And I will see you soon. Now, in the past, I recorded with you on We're All Stories in the End, which will appear in the future.
Yes.
Which is how we like it on Wibbly Wobbly Dicey Wicey.
Oh, I've gone cross-eyed.
Okay, another deep cut there. And, right, well, we will see you soon in the as the vicissitudes of time and space allow us. Next episode should be an interview with Dave Chapman of Cubicle 7 talking about the second edition of the role-playing game. So we'll see you all then. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Wibbly Wobbly Dicey Wicey. Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Feel free to get in touch with any questions or suggestions for future episodes, either on Facebook, by email, www.rpg@gmail.com, or by Twitter, at www.rpg.
No one should have to work under these conditions.